We'll start with, have you ever heard this saying of work smarter, not harder?
Yeah.
You know, we know that part. So in dating, you also have something like that, you know? Date smarter, not longer. Because the goal is to save yourself from staying in relationships with the wrong people. So you waste your time. You don't want to do that. You want to be focused. You want to be really focused and date with intention. And that way, you can save your time. We're going to go through a lot of different things, what it means. So that will be during this class. Just a quick recap of last week. We spoke about the benefits of dating with intention. That's what we're going to call it. And we'll start with some pros. We have, the first one is you don't waste time. Second one, you don't waste energy and put yourself in difficult situations. Then you have to say no to someone. We try to avoid that and or hurt them. You cut things off before you get too invested or they get too invested. So no drama, hopefully. And also when you do that, when you date intentionally, you are emotionally available for the right person. Because if you're constantly in relationships, you might be missing the right people that are around you because you're focusing on other things, other people that might not be for you. And you know that most of the time, either you or they do. The next thing would be that we covered is, so one of the pros is obviously dating with intention can lead you to marry the right person. So many times, and we've spoken about it last week, people say, the regret that they got married, the regret they married that person that they married, and you know, there's a lot to say about that. And so, let's see, and then, the next thing, what was the other thing that we wanted to say?
This is about dating with intention.
Okay. Yeah, you can go for that one.
Yeah, so we were saying that when someone dates with intention, that either this is for me or I'm going to move on and not continue. That makes you have the opportunity of marrying the right person. And this is something we spoke about in the past, that people, believe it or not, can actually marry the wrong person for the wrong reasons. It can actually happen. So a lot of times, let's say, you could be dating with someone and everyone's telling you, oh my gosh, you guys are so made for each other. You both jog. You both do the marathon. We're so compatible. We're both from the same town, same city. All these things are not really signs that you're made for each other. They just happen to be. Afterwards, once you're married, you can talk about these signs. But before,
our families already know each other. We've been long enough. We've been together already like for 2 years, year and a half.
Right.
Like, that's going to be weird. You know, there's a lot of times people go for that for the wrong reasons. Not because it's the right person.
And sometimes it's like at the beginning it was exciting. I'm with this person. It's been 2 years now. Well, am I going to break up and start dating again? Oh, the thought of that haunts me. And then I say to myself, you know what? The pressure's there. I may as well keep doing it. And then I ended up... And it can happen that someone actually marries the wrong person for the wrong reasons. So that's why we want to also talk about dating smarter. Because someone who's able to say no, and we'll speak about this today, someone who's able to say no at the right time can avoid this problem. Okay? If someone's 35 and dating, and he's dating already for 5 years, it's going to be very hard to cut it out. There's obviously a lot of benefits, and there's a reason why it's been going this long. You've been having a lot of fun, and there's some good aspects of the person in front of you. And it's very comfortable. It's going to be very hard to say, okay, you know what, let's break up, start the whole dating process again. Go back on the apps, right? Back on the apps, go back on the dating. You're pushed to marry the wrong person. Think about that for a second. So that's why dating smarter is so important. And that means dating with intention. If it's for me, I'll continue. If it's not for me, I'm going to stop right now. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so those are... the positive good things about dating with intention. There's probably more. We would point out also there's one con, you know, not downside to dating with intention. Let's talk about that. So you mentioned a little bit of that is you put yourself in a situation that you're less comfortable. So sometimes, and I speak to a lot of people, and a lot of times they get into relationships because they don't want to be single. They don't want to be in that. They don't want to have that status. It's more comfortable. It's much more fun, like you said before.
Right.
It's convenient. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you do that, you're putting yourself away from really finding your soulmate, focusing on the right people. So we can call that, you know, like we said last week, body mate, dating to date. If you agree that that's what you're doing, fine. So that's your thing. But if you're saying, I am looking for the right person, I am looking for my soulmate, then we have to do it in the right way to make sure we attract that person and not focus on other things. So that was important to mention. That, yeah, sometimes it would make you feel uncomfortable, or you may be single for a long time because you haven't found the right person. Does that mean you have to go for the wrong people just for the sake of not being single and peer pressure, social pressure, everyone is in relationship? No, that doesn't mean you have to go through this. So this is actually a question that I wanted to open to discussion is, how can we find support when you make the decision of not dating the wrong people? That means you could be single for a while, who knows, until you find the right person. What would you do? How can you find support after choosing not to date for the right reasons? I would love to hear from you guys. Okay. Do you want to try?
Yes, yeah, so we've been saying it's very simple. We've been saying till now that it's, and we every time we do a dating series, we get this idea drilled in that if you want dating to work for you and not be a headache for you and a thought of fear and pain and annoying, it's all about dating with intention. That's the one message. If there's anything you come out and you come here for 10 weeks, and most of it's on TikTok, and you heard three words. This is it. These are the three words you should hear. Okay? Date with intention. Which means I am only dating this person if I know something's going to come out of this. And I know, we're not prophets, but I see that there's attraction. And I can actually see that a marriage can come out of this. If this is just so that we can have no goal in mind, with no end goal in mind, it's dangerous. It's unhealthy.
It's
it will hurt you.
Date.
That's called dating to date. So our goal is dating with intention. So our question is, if you're that kind of person that says to yourself, okay, right now I want to date with intention. That means that the non-Jewish girlfriend that I always tell everyone, I'm never going to marry her anyway, which is a terrible thing to tell people, right? You don't go out with a girl and then behind her back go and tell everyone, I'm never marry this girl, right? It's only, we're just dating. We're just dating means that this is not a long-term thought. This is not for marriage. This is just for now. So my question is, if you are dating with intention and suddenly you go out with this girl and you realize, oh, this girl's not for me, or you're going out with this guy, you realize this guy is really not for me. First,
and
you choose to say, I'm not doing this anymore because I know what this leads to. If you choose to do that, what would you do to find support? What would you do on that day? On the day that you break up, how would you do it? What would you do? That's really what we're trying to get to, is what kind of support system would you look for if you actually made a decision like that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been through a situation? Has anyone here been through a situation like that before? Where you said no to something because you know of the greater good. It's not comfortable for me now.
It would be easier. But you know it's the right thing, for you.
But I know this is the right thing for me.
But still, it's hard. That's the thing. You know, it can be lonely. It can be hard. So what do you do? Where do you see?
We want to hear suggestions of how everybody here can get tools to deal with that in the future.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Belinda, yeah. I see that.
I think you need to surround yourself with just like a good friend group and just people that are good for you, and just to keep really busy and find your own happiness outside of what you had in that relationship, just to, you know, kind of rediscover yourself, who you were before that time.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is a great one. Anything else? I'm sure there's plenty here. So Marla.
I agree with everything that Belinda said. And then on top of that, I would say, if you find yourself wanting to contact a person, even though you know you shouldn't, like whatever you want to say to them, like write it down, put it in a notes app, say it out loud to a friend or even to yourself. Because I think a lot of times you just need to like get it out of your head. And once you do that, it might be easier to not reach out to them if that's something that you find yourself wanting to do.
Yes.
That's a beautiful idea. That's amazing. Michael?
Yeah. So agree with everything that was said. I think it's really important to rediscover yourself for sure, but it's so hard when you're lost because of it. So I think an important thing to remind yourself is to just be kind to yourself too, right? And take every day as, you know, just a new day and just really appreciate what you do have. And, yeah.
So look more like not outwardly, but more inward.
For sure.
And work on that. Yeah, Lauren.
I think also just making a list of why you've made the decision is very helpful. I just keep a list in my phone of why I've made certain decisions, and I look at it sometimes when I'm like.
Sometimes we need reminders.
It's,
yeah.
It's helpful.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And
okay, that's
you
great.
Need to read it to you.
Very convenient.
It's very long.
Wow, great ideas I have here. I think Robin, did you say?
Like for me, because I've been through this, and I'm sure most people here have, but like just consistently reminding myself, like actively, like you said, why, but also how it would affect me if it did work out, and what negatively could happen as a result, because I know I would get more hurt
exactly.
if it did continue versus
right.
ending it when I did.
Right. That's a great way to look at it. Because obviously, if you would continue, it would have been even worse.
Right.
And more investment, more emotional damage,
right.
more of all of
and
that.
Then both of you can end up getting
right.
instead of just
one side.
Yeah.
Right. Anyone else? We'd love to hear. Yeah, Devin.
I think it's important to focus on yourself because I was in a 4-year relationship and I put so much energy into my partner. We lived together and didn't go to the gym. I didn't meditate. And I'm trying to do more of that now and focus like who I am as a person rather than who I am as a partner and in a relationship.
That's amazing. That is great. I think a lot of what I'm hearing here is a theme of, which is really, I mean, there's no right or wrong in these answers, obviously, but it's focusing on yourself. And we said that last week also, that dating really is a journey to yourself, because through that you learn also a lot about yourself, what you don't like, what you do like, what are your values. You're kind of forced about to talk about serious stuff when you look at life in a serious way and you want to find someone who's serious.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Sure. You're talking a lot about, like, how do you say to the woman that you're not supposed to be with and how do you find support in that? So I just want to, like, to change it, twist it around.
Mm-hmm.
But you also mentioned before that if you share the same hobbies such as jogging or whatever, it doesn't really mean, or if you're from the same city or you grew up from the same background, it doesn't really mean that you're potentially supposed to be together. So my question is, when you do date with intention, how do you tell if this girl is, or this guy is supposed to be for you? And how do you tell if she's not, like if it's not based on hobbies or similar backgrounds?
So there's many aspects. There's not just the mundane things on the outside, like, oh, we are from the same city. By the way, if you are from the same city, it's going to help.
It's cool.
If you
it's
have
good
similarities,
to look for similarities, yes.
It's going to help, but that's right. not, is that an indicator that,
do
you know,
mentor?
One day you get on your knee and you say, will you marry me? And they ask you, so what made you make the decision? Because we both went on the marathon. You know, that's not going to be enough of a deciding factor. You have to have something a little more convincing than something external. Because we also have a question of, is this infatuation or is this real? Is this just excitement that my body's speaking?
Right.
Or is this something deeper? And I think that at a certain age, when we're young and we're just in college or school, so then it's a lot more of that shallow external thing. But at a certain age, you really get attraction through sitting with a person and seeing their values also.
Yeah.
Something pnimi yotel, something internal yotel. Like something else, I'm mixing English and Hebrew. Something more internal. You know, something which really indicates who this person is as opposed to just these external things, which are nice. But that's not enough of an indicator for really making a life decision of marriage.
Yeah, and I'll say also about, you mentioned like background, similar background. Of course it's helpful. It's advised. If you can find someone, you're looking and you have a huge pool of people and you can choose someone that grew up like in a similar way as you did. or same religious or similar religious upbringing. Of course, it's ideal. We're not talking about that. That's, of course, that's like, it's a nice bonus if it, that does happen, but that doesn't mean, like Rabbi Jack said, that doesn't mean it's an indicator that this is the right person because of all these signs that I'm finding. People a lot of times tell me, like, you know, this happened and that happened, and like, we were texting the same time and we found that we're doing this and we're doing that and lots of different pieces. It could be, it's part of the bigger picture, but that's not, tell me more. That's what I always say. So there must be something else there. So if you say you have attraction, chemistry, you have deep conversations, you talk about values, there's more than just, you know, these things. But I'm not saying we don't need any of the other things.
We will speak in the future.
Yeah,
like
we definitely
indicators of things that really show a good person.
Yes.
That, you know, will show you signs that attraction isn't only by the physical appearance.
Yes.
And similarities in the physical.
You can also be attracted to the personality. 100%. That's a huge thing.
There are many times you can see a picture of someone, you're like, that's not for me. You see, and we've seen that so many times. Can you show me a picture? Oh, the first thing I do, right, when I tell someone about someone, oh, one second, I hear the computer in the background. He's like clicking, he's totally
obviously
Instagram.
He's searching. I mean, it's Facebook. Interesting, right? You want to know.
Oh, we have three mutual friends. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've never met before. Right? So, you know, there's that feeling, and then there's a picture, and you're like, nah, that's not for me. Wait, there's so many times where you sit with someone, and the way that they are refined, the way, and we'll be speaking about that, because everyone has a different soul type, right?
Yes.
You might be a person that's very giving and loving, and you might want, for instance, someone who's more organized. So it could very well be that you see someone in a picture, you're like, that's not, it's a seven. I'm sorry that we rate people like this, but that's how people are. That's a seven. And then when you sit with them, the way that they hold themselves, the way that they talk,
picture is different.
The bigger picture, you're like, whoa, wow, dude. That was awesome. I mean, you'll go to your home when you say, wow, mom, that was amazing. Or whatever it is. You get what I'm saying, right? You guys get it? It's image. We've got to get past this externalities. Externalities doesn't necessarily indicate anything more than what you see on the outside.
And I think to say that, and we're going to speak about it a lot more, so we will have a bit even more to share. But I think that there's two things. It's you. The body attraction, and then the soul attraction, which some people think that doesn't exist. But that's really what bonds people. So there is that too. We'll definitely talk about that. So you need both. That's the goal, to have both. Okay, let's
Should
move on
to
the next.
Should we skip to the
thing.
Next? This?
Do you want to skip? Yeah, I think so. Let's do that. To make the most out of our time, we're going to get to some interesting stuff.
Oh, some in the back.
Which one?
Four.
You want to do the three L's?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start with the next thing. Signs that your date is not taking you seriously. Okay? Let's start with that.
Okay, go for it.
Listen, there could be more. We got the three L's, which we, in the past 10 years, these are common things that we keep hearing and we keep seeing, that it's a pattern.
One thing
that happens.
Is,
yes.
Such a red flag for me is if I take a girl on a date and she's on her phone.
Oh,
that's like,
for sure.
You're not taking me seriously.
That's not rocket science. You know she's not interested. You know, like, we know there's no interest. If you talk to someone and they're on their phone, they're not interested. It could be anyone. You know, it could be even a friend. Oh, so you're not interested in okay, bye. I'll go into something else.
We're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, then definitely she's not. If she's dating you and still on dates and honey, she's not for you. Why is she still on a dating app? Three dates max, that's it. Exclusive. Dating with intention only. Okay. So
well, let's
for it.
Jump to the three L's and then we'll open it up even more. So the first one is language. Okay, let's talk about that. When he or she says certain things, so you need to listen to what people tell you, right?
No one, by the way, let me just point this out. No one says at the age of between 25 and 35, I'm not going to, the next time I go out, we're just going to have fun. Almost everyone says, we're going to date seriously. True or not true?
True.
Everyone says, almost everyone to your face will never tell you, oh, I'm here to date just for fun. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You've
yeah.
had people
no,
that would tell
you. There's some people that say different.
In your
yes.
face?
Yeah. Example, they say, we're just dating. So if you are dating with intention, you're thinking in your head, okay, don't think that they're going to lead to marriage. It's not going to. If they tell you from the beginning, they're there just for, in different words, for fun, I don't want any commitments, nothing serious. This is already one thing, and you can probably name a few. You know, maybe someone wants to give me something else that people could say that can indicate to you they're not looking for a serious relationship.
But I think the opposite is also kind of scary, where it's like you go into it saying, I'm looking for marriage, right?
You can say I'm looking for something serious, if you don't want to use that
word
first.
You don't have to say the word marriage, but
right.
you can, especially at the beginning, that's like, hey.
Society-wise,
right.
like I think it does scare people
right.
sometimes.
That's weird, but dating with intention is very important.
Sure.
And that's what we're talking about.
And
okay?
I think
which
at the
get
first,
you somewhere.
Yes, and the
is
first few dates, it is important to match expectations. 100%. You can't go into something not knowing what their intentions are, and you're thinking maybe something is serious, you know, something is serious, and in their head it's like it's nothing.
Right.
You know, so it is important to, even if they don't say anything or you don't say anything, after 1, 2, 3, you do need to match expectations and see where are they on the spectrum of like the dating, you know. You wanted to say something? Yeah, Brittany.
What if they say they don't know what they're talking about?
That is very interesting.
It's not that they're not open to marriage or something serious, they just don't know yet.
How long have you been dating for already?
Right, that's the question. So maybe once, twice, three times you can give them, but I've seen patterns of people that don't know even after 2 years. And they drag along, you know, the guy or the girl. So that could be... I would say after a few dates, I don't like to put a number, again, because every person is different. In the way they would date. But after a few times, if the person really still doesn't know, oh, I don't know if I want to take something serious or not serious, then you should have second thoughts, I would say. What would you
say? There's two questions really here. It's like, how long do you need with a date to know if this is for you 100%, right? And then there's another question, how long should dating take itself? Should it take 6 months? Should it take a year? Should it take a year and a half? Should it take 2 years? So that's also a question. And I honestly believe that if someone's dating with intention, their dating shouldn't need to take more than 6 months to a year. That's, I know that sounds crazy, but how long do you need to know each other more? And I'll tell you, there's a big myth. Date longer, we'll know each other more. Right, we need to date longer so then we'll get more clarity. And you know what I say? Date longer, you get more confusion.
We see that. We see that with a lot of people.
Date longer, you get more confusion. So, you know, like we're talking about signs, not just of we're trying to find out if we're attracted or we're trying to find out if we're compatible. We went out a bit, you know.
Chemistry.
We're beyond those signs. It's the language that the person's hiding. Right? If the person's outright telling you, I'm not serious, then obviously we're not even talking about that.
Yeah, we're not.
But we're looking for signs in the person's tone, in his language, that really tells me this person is, in his mind, is not thinking of marriage for the next 5 years. He's not thinking of dating with intention for the next 8 years. So that's what we're looking for. And there are subtle signs like that. And one of them is when they tell you, or you hear that they're telling others that there's nothing serious about this, you know? And that's already a sign that I'm having fun right now. I don't have an outcome. I don't have a plan. But I think from 6 months, you should already have enough clarity. How much can you talk with each other and hang out with each other? And you should be able to have enough clarity of, is this just going to continue forever? Or is there an outcome out of this? Is there a plan? Is there a time zone where
like,
this
do we have a goal? Do we actually have a goal?
Because
really
remember, dating to date alone is dangerous. It's only going to cause damage in the long run. Because at the end of the day, there's expectations. We're not married. So how can you expect from me to treat you as a wife when we're not even married yet. You know, why are you going away? Why are you not coming back? But we're not married yet. We're just checking each other out. So there is a certain point where you're dating to date too long, and it becomes like you're trying to treat this situation as a marriage when it's not. Yeah. And it's problematic. Yeah.
I would just like, I don't know if this is even like pushing back on what you said, but please. Like, you don't, in my experience, you don't really like, it's not even about a significant amount of time. It's like living with someone is like when you find out so much about being together.
So that's, we have, by the way, moving in together, living, no, but okay. Moving in together, living with someone, yeah. We have a specific class dedicated just for that.
Okay.
We
and
would.
Obviously,
and we will
from
speak
a
about that.
Perspective,
we will,
that's
we will
not going to be
that.
Good.
Right, no,
yeah. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell
we
you
will,
why
okay.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Because as much as you might think that it's giving me more clarity, it's also going to give me more confusion. I'm going to see certain differences.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Certain faults, okay.
Let me ask you a question. If you see a fault in someone, right, is that fault a red flag or not?
Or is that fault something that you can
not
work
always.
Out together?
Yep, but like once you have kids together or you're already married, it's way harder to like go back and be like undo those red. You know, once you're in it, right? Like you get married.
I'm not saying make a commitment to something that doesn't make sense to you. I'm talking about making commitment with something that does make sense. But when you live together and you see many faults, every small fault, you're going to say no way. I'm not going to. It's a recipe to not getting married to that person because you'll also see many faults.
Bad in that. I think like some of them are like. You're like, you shouldn't be with this person if they're super dirty and you know you can't handle it, you know, whatever. Like, and that's not, and they're not going to change.
We'll have the whole class, Chaval. I don't
right.
want to waste that.
There's studies done on this,
we
not
will
from
have.
A Jewish...
It is. No, it's on the curriculum. That's what I said. We have a specific class just for that. The whole evening. Because I know it's a thing, you know. It's definitely something that a lot of people consider and think about and... You know, and I think from the perspective of like just a secular society, a mindset, it's a very normal thing.
Right.
This is what you should do. So what we would like is to bring the Jewish perspective as well as understanding the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
And then you can see. So there will be an evening with it, during this series that focuses just for that.
There's actually a major study on this whole topic that
yes.
proves the other way around, that most, many, many marriages
like
have more
marriages
successful marriages.
Together.
They didn't move in before marriage.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because sometimes they,
and
you
we'll
know,
talk about every
yeah.
study,
yeah.
and we'll show how that really fits in with the Jewish perspective.
Because sometimes they did find things after, but it wasn't like a deal breaker you would say before, because
right.
also, how do we make it work? So if you have good communication, which
right.
needs to happen, and marriage doesn't just come with no work, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So if people are willing to say we committed to each other, we're willing to make it work, how do we make it work? Both sides are willing, and it has to be
yeah.
both sides, then you can make things
it,
work.
It falls
but
to
we'll
mind
talk.
It's like we know too much nowadays. We know too much
yeah.
beforehand, right?
Right.
Like we're on a dating app, we see, oh, they smoke weed, they don't smoke weed. Oh, da da da. And like you're like, all these things are just like deal breakers.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you should know all that like beforehand necessarily.
I mean, look, when you said smoking, we're going to mention that. There's certain things that... If it's your red flag, you'll have to find out about that,
right.
if they do or not, because if it's a red flag, it's probably something you don't want to live with,
right.
so you agree.
Right.
But you don't have to wait till you move in with someone to find out certain things.
Right. Sure.
There's certain
other,
things you don't have to move in
my,
for that.
My point is that
yeah.
marriage in itself is two people getting together and working on each other
yeah.
to perfect themselves through the marriage as well. So what part of the marriage, this is a question that you need to think about, is where you work on each other. You say, okay, listen, I'm not perfect. I'm 25 years old. Should I wait till I'm 90 and you're 90 and we're now both perfect people, which never happens, and then we'll marry? That's not marriage. Marriage is two people trying
Sorry,
to...
Sorry, that's reality.
Right? Reality should be marriage is two people coming together and making a commitment to each other to perfect ourselves in a process together.
Right?
Right? So that should be the mindset. So whether it's 20, 25... In fact, marriages that start from a younger age are actually... healthier. That's another discussion. But that's because when I'm more set in my ways, I'm less flexible. But
right.
marriage by definition is two people coming together and saying, let's work on ourselves and become a better person. Right? And I know we're going to have some faults, not red
and
flags.
And we're going to have a lot of
we're
challenges.
Have faults
too.
And challenges, and we need to work on those to become. That is the definition of marriage. I don't believe anyone will think here that you should wait till you're perfect and then as a person and then get married. You know your faults. And you know you have faults. And you can't expect that from the other person. So the question is, how can I accept faults and move forward with them? Not how can I see faults and immediately put a red cross on them and say, that's impossible, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. Oh, and I'm perfect in all these faults? So where's the line where I say to myself, okay, I'm willing to live with this, and where's the point where I say to myself...
Which is a deal breaker that I'm not willing to live with this. That would be
and these this is such a big question that sometimes... And I'm giving you another perspective, that living together prior is actually going to cause a little more confusion in this area. Okay, so that's why... And we definitely need to give a whole talk on it.
There will be. It's on the curriculum. It's already planned. The second thing, I want to run... So the first one we said, the language... what they're speaking, what they're saying to you. Listen up to what they do. Don't ignore certain things. Second thing is, let's say that learning in school, they're actually students, okay? Could be some people in medical school. And I'll give that example because I have that a lot. You know, a guy could be dating a girl that's in medical school and she says, I'm in school and I don't see myself getting married during school. Like, my full is school. So you can't assume that this is a serious relationship right now, right? If they're telling you, and they're not finishing school in the next 2-3 years, unless you're willing to wait around 3 years and then start investing in the relationship, that's a different story. But if we're looking for something that's, like we said, dating with intention, I'm looking for someone who is a right fit now, not in 2 years, not in a year. Maybe then we'll revisit if I'm still single, you know? But it's not going to be smart to go for something like that because, and then get the heartache. And I've had a situation where I'll change it up. He came and said, everything is ready to go, but she's still in school. There's still like 3 weeks, 3 years, sorry. And or it was residency. He wasn't sure. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was a big thing. And she's like, I'm not going to quit everything. Like, I'm not getting married now. And then, honestly, he said, yeah, I knew that before that she was in school, but I thought, you know, through the relationship, things will work out. So these are not things that typically work out if the person is serious about their school and that's their priority. Now, I'll say that's more or less American culture. I'm Israeli. I'm coming from Israel. I got married during school. So for us, it's totally possible to be in school, to do your master's, to do whatever you want, and be in a relationship. And get married, and I had my first kid, you know? So it's a possible thing. It's a mindset, and it's a culture. And I believe that, in fact, I looked at it from a different perspective. If you are two, let's say you get married during school, and you're two, and I have the support of someone else, and I'm not alone in this, and they understand what I'm going through, and they can help me, it could be better. Again, it's a mindset and it's a culture. I'm not saying everyone should think this way, but when we spoke about learning or someone in school, that could be an indicator. If you're someone that's ready to go now and they're still in school, then it's probably not a good fit right now. Anyone would like to add anything to this point?
Someone told me law school and medical school. Forget it. If they tell you that, you know, I'm busy with
I'm
my
seeing
law,
you're looking, but you're finishing.
Yes. But does anyone...
And you're also... She's almost done.
And it also...
next week, congrats. Next week, we're really going to say mazal tov.
Any thoughts on that?
Yes, any thoughts on this part, the second L. You mean when you say might make sense to wait around, you mean a few years? Who said it's going to work out? So you're investing in something that might. You don't know. And it's a long time.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the goal that you want.
Right, exactly. So I guess it does depend on the goal, 100%. But I said, you know, if you have the intention, hey, I want to find someone...
Right away.
When I say right away, I don't mean to get married next month, but I want to find my soulmate. You know, people say that all the time. I want to know that I found the right person, whether it's going to be 6 months, a year, whatever it is, a year and a half that I'll get married, I don't know. So that if that's the intention, then... What you were saying probably wouldn't work if she just started school.
Depends also like what their approach is. I'm in school, that's their focus right now.
Right. If she says like, oh, I'm in school, but it could happen. Yeah.
Sorry.
We could get married. If that would be the direction, then that's not a deal breaker. That's not a problem. That's totally normal. That could happen. And then the next thing would be location. Okay.
Location.
So when you meet someone, let's say we gave the example, yesterday, last week, you're in Israel, I don't know, you're on a vacation, and you meet someone at a bar in Israel, you're really attracted to her, or you're really attracted to him, and you know, first of all, you're a visitor, you're not moving to Israel, maybe you are, but you're not, and it's not going to go anywhere, you're going back in like a few days. Are you going to start investing into that relationship? No, if you're dating with intention. If you just want to date today, that's a different story. I'm not talking about that. But dating with intention, you probably wouldn't go for that. Same way, if you meet someone in LA at an event or whatever, they're visiting from France. They're awesome. They're amazing. They're really attractive. But they have no intention to live here, and you have no intention to go there. Probably not going to make sense right now. If something evolves and changes and there is a will, and we can talk about long distance and all that, that's already a different thing. But we're talking about, you see someone, visitor, not local, not everything is temporary, investing into something like that, more risky. That's pretty much my point
is that there's no point getting your body excited about something, right? The chemicals in your body excited about something, if you know it's not really going to get anywhere. Because that's what we're talking about. When we say dating with intention, we mean not allowing yourself, your inner self, to get drained by the whole dating process. And if you know that something is going to excite you and it's actually not going to get you anywhere, then both, you know, the reason why they are responding to you is probably because they just want to have fun for now. And you are getting yourself excited about something that's not really going to take itself anywhere. So that's not worth it. So those are the three L's. Language, either learning, or locations. So the language, like the way they speak, they say that it's temporary. Learning, the type of school, or their study, or something else that they're doing that they're not going to be thinking about taking you seriously right now.
Right.
And obviously, location as well. If you're not going to be in a place, and they're not going to be in your place, then that's not dealing with attention. Yeah.
Right.
Anyone got any questions?
Any
thoughts?
Comments,
yes.
Questions before we move on?
If you're not in their place and they're not in your place, what if both of you are in the same place?
So there's no question.
No, as far as like,
no, there
we're
is
talking
no.
about when you're both not planning to ever
to stay right, in one place or right, to be local to each
you
other.
You mean dating from afar?
I was thinking from like educational perspective. What if both of you are like going through school and both of you are going to graduate in 2 years? Do you think there is potential?
If you put I mean, I don't see a problem if you put the effort that's needed into it and your mindset tells you, and again, it's also about timeline. If you just started school and you meet someone and you have 5 years or 7 years, you're like, we're not going to get married before the end. That's already, you're really committing yourself to something really big and heavy.
Honestly, you know? I would say it's risky because that person could go and if their school is their number one, what happens if they have residency somewhere else? Or
right.
What happens if they suddenly say, because if they're focused on school and that's their number one thing, so the minute that career drives them to another place, they are married to their career.
How can
you date someone seriously who's married to their career? It's going to end up with disappointment. Yes.
Torah aside, which is a tricky thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you think dating without intention could be beneficial?
No.
Like zero?
Zero.
Yeah. Okay.
It's only going to hurt you. That's really our idea.
Okay.
It might be the one con that we said by doing that is that it's not as comfortable because it's less of an instant gratification. I'm lonely. I'm not with someone right now.
What if like mentally you're like okay with all those the things that come with dating without it? You don't.
Doing whatever you want. If you want to enhance your lifestyle, I believe that this is the right path to go on. And we see it because we see so many people that are still single that because they were dating someone that was not with the right intention. They're now 39. The question you need to ask is, do I want to be that 39-year-old guy? Or I'm being very honest. Torah aside, I'm being very honest. Do I want to be that 39-year-old guy that says, I've been dating this person for 5 years. Now I've dated another person for 4 years. Do I want to be that person, or do I want to really make that decision to date with intention? I could, instant gratification is great, but there's a price to pay for it, which is that, okay, this is fun, but then I'm not taking what I need to take seriously. I'm not looking at the right opportunities that come my way. Do you know how many times a guy, really nice guy, but he's dating a non-Jewish girl, and a nice girl comes, oh, who's that guy? I really like him, but he's not available. Am I going to handcuff him and say, hey, Torah, you know, Jewish goalie, that girl's waiting for you. I can't, right? We make our own choices. Every human being makes his own choice. But we're trying to say, like, the choices a person makes, if they're not with the right intentions, can lead to a lot of pain. And we see the pain. We see so many singles that are, you know, dating and hurt and waiting and looking. And finally, at some point, they say, okay, I really do want to get serious. So, you know, conquer that age that you're in now and say that early, not later when it comes desperate. And by the way, when it does become desperate, it's felt on the person you're dating, right? What's it like when someone's much older and till now he wasn't dating seriously and suddenly now he needs to? There's a time crunch. I have a few years before I start getting old and no one's going to want me. So how's that dating going to feel like? You know, no, come on. When are we getting married? It doesn't work. You got to be natural. So you want to do it in the right way right now. This is a very serious discussion. It's the future of our life. And it's important.
No pressure.
A lot of pressure. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Go.
Okay. So I guess one thing I think I want to push back on a little bit is...
Please, push back.
I think we're talking about people who are students, especially law students, medical students. They're definitely start school in their early 20s. They're like 22, 23, maybe up to 26. I think it's also not really an age where a lot of those people are interested in it. They're not interested in a serious relationship anyway. I think, admittedly, I am a student. So I'm a PhD student.
Right.
It's just a very different place in your life. It's a much longer type of thing.
Right.
It can be in your late 20s or when you finish off in your early 30s. People who are in the program, they do get married pretty regularly. It's a very different, I think, and partly because I think...
I mean, PhD is a paid job already. You're pretty set at that point. So obviously, it's a different stage. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who's very career focused and has like 5 years ahead where you don't even know where they may end up. I feel like someone with a PhD is already set with where he's living and where he's going to be in the future at that point. And if there's if there is still a lot of confusion and there's still this idea of
unknown
and... maybe I might be living somewhere else. I might be going here. I might be going... So then it might be a little more difficult. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know that situation. I'm not in that world.
But I think the location's hard. I think the seriousness thing is different, though, than someone who's 23.
Absolutely.
Really, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm talking about someone who's 26, or at least a girl that's 26, that is dating a guy. And he sees that she's, like, still in her medical school and... I've seen it so many times that that is the focus, and the dating is for a guy that's right now who's 31, who's really looking for something serious, and she's just like focused on that school world. I see that as a big cause for a lot of problems.
Oh, but couldn't she move to wherever she goes?
Look, so that's a good point. Again, but we were saying if she would be committed to the relationship and moving to where it is, once they're committed, I really don't recommend moving after someone, not knowing, you know, changing your whole life for someone that you're not committed to and they're not committed to you, no way. You're going to switch your whole life around for someone that didn't commit to you and you didn't commit to them? That's a big risk to take. But if you are committed to each other in any way, shape, or form, of course, that makes sense. You can build your life somewhere else. Absolutely, that can make sense.
We're not saying that you can't date someone seriously whilst you're in school. We're saying that you have to look out for the sign that if someone is in school, they might be very married to that career and not to dating you.
And you can talk about it, meaning there should be conversations. It should come up very early on. What are your takes about these things? You know, it could be hard. It could be impossible. This is something I would like to see something... oh, to date someone serious. I would like to, we wouldn't say marriage, but I would like to have a goal. I would like to have a goal. And if the reaction is, right now I'm focusing on school, then it's probably not going to line up. That person is not going to just pick up and move after you or the other way around, you know? I'm wondering if we run out of time. So
sure.
I'm wondering if I should start the next one or no.
Maybe or, I'll do the previous stuff. Okay. I have one question. I just want to discuss with you for a few minutes what the Torah actually says about dating, and then you tell me what it really thinks, okay? So it says like this. This is the first teaching, and you tell me what this really thing really means. It says it's not good for mankind to be alone. And therefore, a person should leave his parents' home. Okay, and it says like this. It's not good for mankind to be alone. He should have a helper that's against him. So first of all, what does that mean, a helper? Someone that's going to serve him? And this just sounds very traditional, but I want to break the wording out and really get an understanding of what it means. It's going to blow your mind. Okay, listen carefully. It says it's not good for mankind to be alone. What does it mean, not good? What does the words we throw that around? What does it mean, not good? Uncomfortable?
Unhealthy.
When I say something's not good, what does that really mean?
Unhealthy.
Unhealthy?
Bad.
What does bad mean? What does that even mean? What's so, for?
It's
not the optimized.
It's not beneficial.
It's not beneficial. It's not going to advance you. So look at this commentary, okay? It's very important. This is the by the way, every single thing, according to Jewish tradition, that was created, God said, that was good. Good. Vayara Elohim Kitov. God saw in the future also, not just now in the present, but of all time, that this thing is good. But when he created mankind, he said, that's not good for him to be alone. Therefore, I will separate him, and I'll make him an other side, which will be a helper that will be against him. The question is, first of all, what does it mean not good? So listen, the Tirgum, the commentary explains like this. Not good means lo takin, incomplete. It's incomplete when a person is alone. What's incomplete? So according to Jewish tradition, when a person gets married, you find the other side of you and you come one. It's like two souls that were predetermined that are coming one together. But there's something bigger. We are meant to complete ourselves with other people. When, not just in marriage alone, but by being around people, that's how we complete ourselves. Why? Why does being with other people around you make you more complete?
Because you learn about yourself.
You learn about yourself.
You can challenge each other.
You challenge each other.
100%, yeah.
Right? The greatest thing is, if you're alone, you're comfortable in your own space. And comfort doesn't mean growth. Right? When I'm in my own room and no one's watching and I can do whatever I want, I can throw my clothes all over the place, I can do whatever I want, no one's going to say anything. But in a relationship, there's another side. And that other side is pushing you. So that's what it means. Now listen to this. This is another idea. Where was Adam when he was created? In the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, that's the idea of bliss, right? It's the idea of heaven, basically. It's like perfect. No, nothing needs fixing over there. So what does it mean that God says Adam needs to have... By the way, Adam was a male and a female originally. He was a ish ve isha. That's what the word isha comes from. Isha is from a man. And according to Jewish tradition, the Adam is a combination of both. And then God says it's not good for man to be alone. All the animals I've created, male and female. Adam I created confusing, still confusing till today. Adam I've created male, female. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to separate. Not good for man to be alone, I'm going to separate. But the question is, if God created us in the first place, and it's not good for us to be alone, so why didn't he create us separate in the first place? Huh? Why weren't we created separate in the first place, according to Jewish tradition?
Because
about to say natural selection, but that's not a
point. Oh, do you know why? One of the explanations is, if we all would say that we come from two different people, so what would I say? Oh, you know why you're messed up? It's because you come from that side, you know? But when we all come from one person, then we're all one unit. We're all humans. We're all humanity. So that means when you make a mistake, it's part of me. When you're in pain, it's part of my pain. We're all the same, Mishpacha, all humans. So that's why Adam was originally created as one unit, male, female. If it would have been two units, yeah, as bad as it is now, it would be way worse. You're from that tribe. You're from the other side. I came from the good side, you know? That would have been my... So that's one of the reasons why Adam was created male, female. But God says it's not good for... He's in the Garden of Eden. He has everything he wants. What does God say? I will make him a helper against him. Is it a helper? Or is it someone against him? What's going on? And also, does he need a helper? Is that what a marriage is? The other side is there to help you? Is that what it really means? You see, when people translate it, they don't really... The answer is no. Not to help you in a sense physically.
To help you grow.
Yes. To help you grow. By being against you, meaning opposite you. There's a lot of times in a relationship, you have someone in front of you, and they see your flaws, and it can bother them. They shouldn't always point it out. That's not a healthy relationship. But by definition, when you're with someone, right, when you're in a relationship, by definition, that person is living with you. So they are... They see the problems and they can fix them. That is a relationship. So what's the goal of a relationship? Not good for mankind to be alone. So yes, it's, but the goal is to be fixed, to have growth, because that's what it means, not good. Not good doesn't just mean bad. It means much more than that. It means incomplete. And how do I get complete? By having someone opposite me that's actually with me but also against me. And that's how it works in a relationship. Now, what's the biggest problem of people going in a relationship? They don't know that we're in here to work. They think, I expect things to now get easier. It's going to be, this person's going to do this for me. Going to compliment me. Me. Right? Going to look after me. Going to be with me. Going to see me. Right? It's all about me. So what are we trying to do? From a Jewish perspective, a relationship's actually the opposite.
It's the you. It's the other side.
Right? It's the other side. And what you're saying is, I am here to be with someone and it's going to be a ride. It's going to be a journey of growth. It's not that I'm just going to be with someone and things are now going to be easier for me. She's there for me. He's there. That's the wrong way of translating. It's going to help me. It's going to help me by growing together, by them being opposite. So that's the idea of a relationship in itself. But then it continues, and it says, therefore, a person should leave his father and mother.
Yeah.
What do you think that really means? By the way, there were times where people didn't have money, got married, day after the wedding, where do they go?
Live with their parents.
They go back to live with their parents. They have a big house. Can you imagine? Does that make sense? So what does this mean? But what happens if you have no money? What happens if you can't afford it? Forget stigmas right now. What if you can't afford it? That's all you have. What does it really mean that therefore mankind should leave their parents' home? Should leave their father and mother?
The mentality of being a kid.
Learn to be sustainable.
Well, you could be an adult without being married. I think so, you know.
Right.
So what does marriage do and what should it do to... So there's one answer that we all give, which is that if your parents tell you what to do, and your wife is telling you something which contradicts, who do you listen to first?
Your wife.
So that's... your spouse, it comes first. That's one definition. Yeah, Chaz, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, does it mean like get out of your comfort zone?
Yes. How? Why specifically get out of your comfort zone? By
when
leaving
you get married,
your parents' leave. Home. What does that really mean?
You're starting a new family.
Right, Bill, having a goal. That's the message. Meaning, there's a difference between dating just for dating and dating for a greater goal than dating itself, which is to build a home. to build a new house, a new family. It's a whole new definition. Can you imagine dating someone and actually looking at them and asking yourself the question, is this going to be where I'll build the future of my home? Not necessarily ask that person. They'll be like, whoa, okay. But, no. But ask yourself, that's a whole different ball game in dating. As opposed to saying, is this someone that I can just physically be with? And most times, they'll say, yes, right? But it's irrelevant. Physical chemistry is just physical chemistry. It's important, of course. But that's just your body speaking. But a relationship that's deeper than that, that's beyond that, is not just two people physically coming together. It's two people with a greater goal than the dating itself. And that's something which is very... By the way, the Beatles had it wrong. What did they say? Love is all? It's wrong. Take two people that love each other. Put them in a room. Lock both doors. Lock the front door. Lock the back door. No way of getting out. Run to the river and throw the key in the river. How long do you think they'll last? They have a lot of food. There's a little hole. Do you throw food and water in it? Right up. Throw food and water in it. You lock them up. How long do you think they'll really last? And the answer is, love is not all you need. Because there's got to be a greater goal to life than love itself. Through love, you can achieve great heights.
Yes.
But love itself is not true that it's all you need. You've got to have a greater goal in life than love itself. And one of them is building a family. Okay, because love that's just for love itself is infatuation. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last. But love that has a greater goal in mind, that's starting to really, right? When you look at someone, you say, is this my future? That's a different way of dating. Okay? I don't know if you've ever done that. But that is a very important. So that's the last thing. And then it says like this. And once you leave your parents' home, you cling to your spouse. What does that mean? You give them a hug. Oh, it says then it says, and become one flesh. So you cling to your spouse, cling to them, and become one flesh. You give a good hug. What does it mean? It's got to be a bigger, deeper meaning than this.
You rely on them.
Rely on them.
You're a team.
You become a team. Right? What does it mean clinging to that person?
Make a bunch of babies.
Yeah. Does it say that?
No. Doesn't really.
Well, you guys making the babies is making one flesh.
Thank you. What? Yes.
No, not. Knowing itself is one.
Right? That is one definition. That is, by the way, one explanation. The child that comes out of a relationship is the one flesh. That is the oneness. That's what Rashi commentary says.
Wow, that's amazing. Who said that?
Brian and Eitan. That is true.
Well, that's a commentary. Okay.
You see where these guys' minds are, you know? Unbelievable. But on a deeper level, what does it mean cling to your spouse and become one? I want to tell you two things, and we'll finish with this. Number one is that a relationship needs to have an absolute commitment for the relationship to really work, which means that I am really fully here for you. You know the situation where you date and the person's not really in it? Like you were saying, like with the phone? There is a situation where you could be dating and you are fully in it. And the truth is that a relationship until the point of marriage, a person isn't always fully in it. I know you may argue with me and say, no, it's not true, we can be committed. But the truth of the matter is that until that bondage, that absolute commitment has come, where we're going to leave our parents, we're going to commit to each other absolutely, then any point, right, you say you're a boyfriend, girlfriend, at any point in that relationship, you can each walk away. There isn't an absolute commitment. It's very easy and simple to say, it's not working for me, I am gone. So that means that the other side is looking at me and saying, I'm scared. I need to act on my best behavior because I'm always worried of this overhanging threat, which is that one side can easily walk away. So when you want to be in a relationship, you also have to give each other your fullest. Because if you're not giving your fullest, then the relationship isn't in its fullest. And how do you achieve that with the commitment to marriage? That's another reason why, by the way, why I was saying that living together before or trying to treat a dating situation as a marriage in itself is dangerous because it's not a marriage. You're not fully committed. You're still connected to your parents. You have to. She's still connected to her family. You're still connected to your family. There is a lot of things that you are not fully. Don't get me wrong. Once you're married, you're still connected to your family. But the relationship is different. Now we are absolutely with each other and looking at each other with 100%, 1,000%. And when you give each other that chance, it's another whole level. Okay? So that's what it means, clinging to your wife and becoming one. So, Shira, can you share with them? Very important. Because there is this example that we give of someone who's going, maybe we'll do this another time, but someone who's going with on a journey, and he, you know, the example that Aish uses, which is someone's on a trip and he goes into a bar and he, it's not a joke, right? And he's about to pay for his coffee, and as he's about to do that, a girl drops her file of papers. Shira once gave over this example. So she drops a whole bunch of papers on the floor, right? So go on, go, you can give it over. She's way better than me.
No, it's okay. Continue.
No, please. This is how the relationship live, you know? Like, this is how you get the real scene.
Continue.
No, so basically, Shira once gave over this story. It's very, very powerful. And this is the idea. She drops all the papers on the floor. And this nice guy is about to buy his coffee, sees it, and bends over and picks it all up for her. He's like, oh, so I'll help you. And she's like frustrated. And all of a sudden, 2 seconds, this super cool, awesome guy picks it all up and gives it to her. What is talking to her the most? Is her mind, intellect talking to her the most? Or this, but she feels something. She feels something right now. What is talking to her? Her mind? Her heart, or the chemistry in her body, the physicality in her body. You tell me, which one is talking to her most at that moment?
Her heart.
Her mind would be if she knows who that person is.
Yeah, she has no idea who that guy is.
It could be some dangerous...
She doesn't know his name. It could be a criminal. You never know.
It could be a criminal.
Or you could be right out of prison. I don't know, I'm just making up, but... It could be anything. You don't know anything about the person.
In the mind, you know nothing. You don't know who this person is. You don't know anything about him. All you know is that right now, I feel something. But that feeling doesn't give me anything in the intellect. Emotionally, in my heart, I'm feeling something. And maybe in my body, I'm feeling something. There's a chemistry that's waking up. Judaism says that for a relationship to really be tested, to see if it's going to work, first is in the mind. Which means, who is that person in front of me? Not just, how does my heart and my chemistry work in my body? Who is that person? First let me see them. Because if I allow the chemistry to get in the beginning, or get involved, then I get clouded with the person in front of me. I'm not sure. It says, there's no problems with that person, they're fine. The criminal thing, it's all fine. Totally fine. The physicality is working right now. What's in front of me is beautiful. So what we want to do is allow the intellect to first block that, not necessarily block the feelings. The feelings are there. But what we're trying to do is find the intellect first. Who is this person? Where are they from? Is there similarity? Is there compatibility?
I'll give an example. Actually, just said it today to someone. You know, when you walk into, you know, you check how things work. You make sure you don't get trapped. You know, like that you're buying something that's gonna fall apart like the next day. There's a lot that it entails. You do a lot of research. When you wanna buy a car, also, you know everything, the inside, the outside about the car. But you know what people do about dating? They see someone. Oh, I feel something. Let's date. Do you know anything about the person? Invest. You need to find out if you wanted something serious. You want to know what you're into. You want to give a chance to this relationship to work. Make sure you're getting into the right relationship. Make sure the person is the right person for you. They're healthy for you. There's none of the deal breakers that you have. You know, don't want to get into that, make research. So this is something that a lot of times we say, you know, yeah, you're interested in someone, try to find out about them. Not saying, you know, if you know them already from the community or whatever, that's ideal, that's nice. But if you meet someone at the bar, it's a little different. So when it comes to that, I say, like everything else in life, we do research, we care about. This is one of the most important, if not the most important thing in life, right? You want to end up with someone for the rest of your life and be happy. You for sure need to do some research and prepare yourself for that and not just go by what you feel, what my body tells me. Okay, I think we're way over time. There's always so much to say. I'm glad I didn't start the next thing because that would be good for next week. It's 5 points, 5 different characters within the dating that you can identify even about yourself that also can help you choosing the right person and attracting the right person. Okay? So that will start next week. No time for that now.
Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.